Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host. You're listening to It's Your Money, the financial podcast that was designed to pull back the curtain on the financial industry and its massive marketing machine and expose the truth about money and investing. Whether you're the CEO of a company or a guy just getting by or a gal, it is not that baffling and bewildering if you have someone like me, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain and exposing the truth about money and investing. I submit to you, listener, ladies and gentlemen, sir, ma'am, that you don't need to know everything about money, just a few right things as it relates to what you're trying to accomplish. Let's talk about that today. Today's a coaching segment I want to share with you. We've been doing a lot of the coaching recently to talk a little bit about kind of planning long-term, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, it makes no difference. These concepts, ideas, techniques, coaching snippets will help you and enrich your life if you apply them. In the last few months, though, I should say the last several shows, the last couple months, I've really been focusing in the area of kind of planning and setting up a plan, if you will. And let me go over a few of those lately. We did a 30-day challenge back in December, which encouraged people to really look at where their money's going. Needs versus wants. What amount of money do we need to live on, and what amount of money would we like to live on? Different types of money, transferred money, lifestyle money, and accumulation money. We then talked about, in another show, we talked about savings as a bill. I have found that if you can get your savings and kind of treat it as a bill or get it set up as a bill, you'll work it into your budget, and it is the most productive way that I have found personally in my own family and life to save is making our savings a bill. We then talked about, okay, look, you're at the point where you're starting to save some money, you figured out maybe to squeeze an extra $20 a week out of the budget, or $50 or $100 or $1,000, whatever your situation is. By the way, we're all broke at different levels. You know that? It's an interesting little dynamic. Let me segue for a moment. Something I've noticed in working with literally thousands of people for 25 years now is that we're all broke at different levels. Whether you're making $800,000 a year or whether you're making $25,000 a year, we're all broke at different levels. The only difference between the couple that I see making $50,000 a year collectively and the couple that's making $200,000 a year collectively, besides their vocations, is basically more creature comforts. It's basically difficult to save when you're making $25,000, and believe it or not, it's difficult to save for those people making that kind of very healthy income. So, you know, we're people. We all basically have the same concerns, desires, fears, dreams, aspirations. It's just we're in different stations in life, age-wise and or social, political, and economic. But diversification or diversity in our country, but we're all the same. You know what? I want to just remind you listeners, if I can get patriotic just for a moment as a former veteran, that America is the best of the best. You know why? We make up everything else. I mean, it's incredible to me how people talk about different sectors of the world and yada, 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 quality of life. Yada. We're the best of everything. It's a beautiful thing. This is why we can tout and shout how wonderful it is to be American. Now, we've been set back a little bit lately with the debt and this crisis and all the political quagmire the last 5 years. Yes, we have, but we're still the greatest economic nation in the world. We're the beacon of hope. We're the light of hope to the rest of the world. And let me tell you something, from somebody who's traveled around the world, I will tell you that I never hear anything but good things as it relates to America. And those, you know, we're having a problem getting people in. With people coming in, not with people getting out, like other countries. So, let me get back on track. That's more of a rant, isn't it? Well, we then went on to Rule of 72 last week, and the idea of understanding a little mathematical formula in your head of how to surmise, ascertain, figure out, kind of, sort of, how your accounts are doing as it relates to their growth or their yield or their return. And I want to take us in another direction today, but along the same highway, if you will. And that's talking about now we've decided, okay, we've squeezed some money out, or we've decided to save some money. We're creating savings as a bill. We've decided whether we want to put it in an IRA or a Roth account. Do we understand that we need to start getting a yield? I really haven't talked about what your number is. I'll talk about that in a show coming up. In fact, let me write that down right now, or I'll forget that. What's your number? But I really want to talk about more. Okay, we're going to start investing. Where do we put it now? And I think we need to share, if you've listened to my market update and some of the other stuff we've done, you'll get kind of a feel of our academic flavor as it relates to investing. But let me share something with you that really screws people up. And I think for me, it was a bit of a challenge wrapping my head around many moons ago. And I think this is something that you really need to understand when it comes to investing. And that's really the difference between what an asset class is, what an asset category is, and what a sector is. And let me start out by go ahead and giving you a definition. I'm going to read here from Investopedia, a definition of an asset class. A group of securities that exhibit similar characteristics, behave similarly in the marketplace, and are subject to the same laws and regulations. The three main asset classes are equity, stocks, fixed incomes, and cash equivalent, money market. So we have stocks, bonds, and basically cash. Pardon me. So let's go on and talk about an asset class. So those are asset classes. Predominantly, they're known as stocks, bonds, and cash. But we should also note that within these three main asset categories, there are different asset categories. So those are asset classes, but there's asset categories. That's where we get into small companies, large companies, value companies, growth companies, international, domestic, cash, etc. But what I want you to make sure that you do not fall into this trap, especially when you're looking at your 401k, and it's self-directed in that you are going online or somewhere and you're picking a certain mix, that you don't confuse sectors with asset classes or categories. The science that you read about, if you've done any studying as it relates to the academic truths, I call them truths, not utes, but truths of investing, own equities, invest for the long term, exercise modern portfolio theory, and understand the efficient market hypothesis and the three-factor model, that you can learn about in other podcasts. What I want you to really hone in on and understand this time is the difference between an asset category, as I just mentioned, large, small, growth, value, U.S., domestic, international, etc., is the difference between those, pardon me, and sectors. Sectors is where, in my opinion, I find most of the speculating that takes place in the arena. First of all, we have way too many trades in a given day. Billions of shares, I believe, hundreds of millions of shares speaks to the amount of trading. It just doesn't need to be that amount every day. And when you look at asset classes, you don't find the speculative hype that you would find in sectors. For example, some sectors would include basic materials, consumer goods, financials, healthcare, industrial goods, services, technology, utilities, as an example. So in sectors, you might find a lot of hype as it relates to energy right now, for example, or biomedical, for example, right now, different areas. And you're going to find speculators or the market as a whole, which I believe is a speculative machine that basically is going to promote, hey, energy, buy energy, sell gold, buy pharmaceuticals, sell financial, whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, in a well-diversified portfolio that encompasses the asset classes and the asset categories based on the science of modern portfolio theory would basically tell you that you're going to own all the sectors in the various asset classes. Please don't get fooled. And as a segue, let me make this point. What I've noticed in looking at hundreds, I would submit thousands. It is definitely thousands, maybe tens of thousands of brokerage statements, that there's all kinds of names of these different funds and stuff. And it is tough sometimes to ascertain where they fall in the asset class because they're mostly sector-driven. So be wary of that. If you're not sure about that kind of thing, get some coaching. If you don't have a coach, call us, 814-867-5745. Pay for coaching, not for products, ladies and gentlemen. So the difference between asset classes and sectors is dramatic. Make sure that you understand that. Let me add one little note, and I'm going to cut this short today. Some managers and financial professionals out there actually consider real estate and commodities to be an asset class category. I would differ with that a bit. I think I would take issue in that in a well-diversified portfolio, you're going to own commodities across the board, in that you're going to own timber companies, you're going to own farming type of companies and firms, you're going to own mining situations, you're going to own basically all the commodities by the companies that actually use them, you know, General Mills, for example, or whatever, okay? And by owning another asset class in commodities, I submit to you that you're doubling down. Now, you can say it's a hedge against inflation, but I haven't seen that. That's the marketing spin. That's in Paul's humble opinion. You are welcome to it, by the way. That is my opinion. The second thing is real estate. Ladies and gentlemen, most investors are also homeowners. I submit to you that real estate, when you look at it purely from a numbers viewpoint, may not be the investment that a lot of people think that it is. When you look at the yield of real estate, it's inflation. You know, if you had a young couple coming to you and you were counseling a young couple on what they should do starting out with their financials situation, you might suggest that they fund their IRA and at the same time work hard at getting a house and paying it off. The two are absolutely opposing scenarios and strategies. On one hand, you're funding an IRA, asking Uncle Sam to give you a break as a tax deduction. On the other hand, you're trying to pay off your house on an investment that yields inflation returns, basically keeps up with inflation, and getting rid of Uncle Sam and the tax deduction that may be available to you. But that's a conversation for another time. Why do people do it? Because they're not sure what else to invest in, and the market is baffling and bewildering and overwhelming. And this is why you need an investor coach, ladies and gentlemen, or why many of you listen to our podcast and have for years, or local, our syndicated radio show that we haven't done for a couple of years now but did do for a few years. So I realize that many of you are starving for information. I may be preaching to the choir. Let's get the message out. Let's share it with some other people and get them to understand that you don't have to know everything. You just need to know the few right things as it relates to investing. So understand the difference between asset class categories and sectors when it comes to investing. By the way, for those of you that may be getting on board the social media wagon and happen to be on Facebook, if you would be so kind as to go to Financial Abundance and like us, that would be great. We're starting to just play with that more and more, and understanding, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that is the direction of the future, social media, because more and more people are looking for less biased sources of information and news, and why not get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. But anyway, if you happen to be involved in the social media revolution and would like to get regular information from us in Financial Abundance, we do a weekly clarity coaching email or message blog, then you can get on that bandwagon by going to Facebook and then Financial Abundance. If you'd like to learn more about an academic approach to investing, retirement planning, estate planning, insurance, investing, and wealth strategies, go ahead and go to our website, financialabundanceinc.com. Or continue to listen to other podcasts. There is a plethora. Yes, I got it in again today, ladies and gentlemen, a plethora of information available to you. And I hope that this information enriches your life in some way. If it does, pass it on. And with that being said, I'm going to sign off. This is Paul Nichols, your host. You're listening to It's Your Money, brought to you by Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania, that's State College. Have a super day. We'll talk to you soon.